Well, this is the day the Lord has made, and this is also a time when we do a youth message. And I was thinking, I think a lot lately. I don't know why that is, but I think a lot. And, And the reason I think a lot was wondering, why do we do a youth message if we don't have any youth in the sanctuary? But we never, I love the buts and yes, but we never know when one's going to show up. But then I got to thinking, well, it really gives me a chance to preach twice on the same Sunday. Now, I kind of like that because I want to be able to encourage you in the faith. And then also, sometimes it's good to take a look at some of the things from a child's perspective or a young person's perspective. Because sometimes we as adults have a tendency to complicate things and make it this and that, where Jesus said, come unto me all the little children. I think, and I'm just a thinker again, I don't know nothing about nothing, that I think it's God's way of letting us know that we have eternal life. Because when, and most of us have dealt with older people in the latter years of their life, and they get childlike. And I think that's his way of letting us know we have eternal life, because he wants us to come to him in childlike faith and to be able to understand this thing called life. So, with that said, what are we free from? Now, I got a Dan, her husband. There's some of these back here, by the way, if you've never had one and you wanted to edify yourself and understand some of the things from our founding fathers and some of our past presidents and so forth like that. In this little booklet, there is... anybody remember studying the Magna Carta? Or the Mayflower Compact? Or the Call to Arms? Or, as we celebrated Friday, the Declaration of Independence? And then, a few years later, we have the Constitution of the United States, which is our set of rules and laws that we follow. That's what makes the United States of America unique in a lot of ways, that we follow a set of rules that was laid out for us called the Constitution, and we follow the rule of law. But here's something you probably never read, was the Federalist Papers in this little book. Excerpt from George Washington's farewell address. That's an interesting address. And then we have the Gettysburg address. So, if you can't sleep sometimes at night, you can pick up this little book, and there's some interesting stuff in there. But here I got one that I carry in my briefcase all the time. And I just want to share with you, I'm not going to read the whole Declaration of Independence to you. But as a practical matter, the Declaration of Independence was adopted by Congress on July the 4th, 1776, publicly announcing to the world the unanimous decision of the American colonies to declare themselves free and independent states, absolved from any allegiance to Great Britain. Yet it is also the definite American statement of the conditions of legitimate political authority, the ends of the government, and the sovereignty of the people. Now, James Madison, who helped write the Constitution and put it together later on, he said this about the Declaration of Independence. He said, the fundamental act of union of these states. Now, we have grown from the 13 original colonies to where we are today with territories and so forth. I think there's 54 different aspects of the country that we call the United States of America. But I don't think that there's any doubt that the principles upon which the United States of America was founded are indeed biblical. Equality, liberty, and justice are all biblical principles. and the faith of the founders, on the other hand, will continue to debate whether the founders respected God or if they were of any religion whatsoever, or were they really and truly influenced by the Bible when they put it together. And in my mind, there is no doubt. Were they all born-again Christians following Jesus Christ? No. But even in the reading of what the founders stated and wrote for the public, none of us will ever truly know their heart. The Apostle Paul wrote this in 2 Timothy, "The Lord knows those who are His." We never know somebody else's heart, but the Lord knows. And while it's interesting to research the religious convictions of the founders, Wall Builders is a good resource to do that and look at some of the original writings and so forth. It's really fascinating. But I often think about, because the church, not that many years ago, the writings and the history of the church and the things that we did, and pastors especially, were responsible to make sure it was all written down and it goes into history. We have archives at the Florida Conference, and it's really, but we've drifted away from that now since modern technology has taken over. Because at one time, your baptism certificate was proof of citizenship and other things. It was like a birth certificate when you were baptized. Not so much anymore, but I digress. I think more important than the heart condition of the founding fathers is the spiritual condition of those presently in public office. Because it's our duty, as Scripture talks about, to pray for those who are in authority over us. So as we reflect on July 4th, about our freedoms, and that we realize that the United States of America is nearly 250 years old, because as of Friday we were 249, but we're on our way to 250. And that's a long time to remain free. But when you look at our history in the context of world history, America is just a baby. Among the nations of Egypt and China and Japan and Rome and Russia and all the other, American history seems to be very short. But consider what a brief time that we've really been a nation. And I went back and I looked at some things. And there is four men in our history that will take us all the way back to the founding. And here they are. When Thomas Jefferson died, Abraham Lincoln was a young man of 17. When Lincoln was assassinated, Woodrow Wilson was a boy of 8. And by the time he died, Ronald Reagan was a boy of 12. Yeah, the lives of four men take you all the way back to the beginning of our country, 250 years ago. We're young. And yet we stand tall among these nations because of the principles on which we were established. In the Declaration it says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men and women," political correct, it says men, but I include women because we're all human, "and that all men and women are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." So, the Declaration of Independence that we celebrate, you have to think about, though, we don't want nobody, anyone, don't let anybody fool you, freedom ought to be and needed, needs to be celebrated. So many churches and pastors today loathe patriotism from the pulpit, and I'm not one of those. I celebrate today with you and the freedom which God has blessed this great nation of ours with. So now I can't tell you whether God has blessed us with liberty, and therefore we are free, or we have wisely and simply built our liberty based on biblical principles. In any case, our freedom comes from God. So I want to temper our celebration a little bit with some caution. With freedom comes great responsibility. We are not free to live excessive lives, and we're not set at liberty to pursue selfish ends. Our dependence should not make us infidels. Paul talked about it in Galatians, when he said, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in sinful nature." Well, what is true for the church is also true for the nation. Liberty demands civility. Freedom requires righteous behavior. So on this July 4th weekend, I want to celebrate the freedom and the civility that we have. But the question is, for what? We've been set free to become servants to one another. Jesus said he came to serve, not to be served, and those who would lead must become servants of all. He also referred to that in 1 Corinthians when he said, "For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave." I think the irony is that only truly liberated people can really serve others. So liberation comes when one finally releases our own agenda and accepts God's agenda in our life. And we must strike a balance between security and independence, but we need to make no compromise when it comes to freedom. We are called to be free, but we're also not to use our freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence of the flesh, but rather through holy love. We are free to become servants of God and servants of each other. So here we got into this thing called repentance. And repentance is a very important part of our faith, because the faith in Jesus' sacrificial death and miraculous resurrection qualifies him being Jesus, to be your Savior. It says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Saved from what? Saved from eternal damnation. And there's many other passages as in the Bible that speak of the necessity of faith. So if you want to get right with God, here's a simple prayer. Remember, saying this prayer or any other prayer will not save you. It's only trusting in Christ that can save you from your sin. So this prayer, a sample prayer, is simply a way to express your faith in God and to thank him for providing you with salvation. And it's a simple prayer for simple people. "Oh God, I know I have sinned against you and I'm deserving of punishment, but," I love the buts in the end, "but Jesus Christ took the punishment that I deserve, that through faith in him and in his resurrection, I could be forgiven. And I place my trust in you for salvation and thank you for your wonderful grace and forgiveness, the gift of eternal life." So, what are we saved from? And what are we saved for? I think all of us would like to live lives full of what the Apostle Paul talked about is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But to do this, we must first be free of the shackles of our own bodies and our own mind, and more importantly, our own emotions. Now, this is not accomplished through independence, but rather than dependence on God Almighty. Love, joy, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control are all gift of God. So, through Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we have been set free. Set free from what? We have been set free to have the penalties of our sinful nature paid for by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And we'll celebrate that in Holy Communion in a little while. So, there you have it. July the 4th. Many things that we can reflect to in our own physical freedom, but also in our personal freedom, and more importantly, our faith and our hope that we have in Jesus Christ.